Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man of uncommon intelligence, and who, I'm very happy to say, brings it to bear with great regularity on behalf of freedom, that of our country and that of the free world more generally, is our guest for a very special edition of Secure Freedom Radio. He is Dr. Sebastian Gorka. His newest book is Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War. You have seen him on Fox and read his writings, I'm sure, in many other places. He is, of course, these days, the Major General Matthew C. Horner Distinguished Chair of Military Theory at the Marine Corps University, an adjunct professor at an institution I esteem highly, the Institute of World Politics, and many, many other parts as well. But rather than take the time introducing him, let's talk to him. Sebastian Gorka, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Great to be back on the show, Frank. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Listen, there's so much to talk about, and I'm so grateful to you for giving us a full hour of your time to do it, because I think it's both warranted on the basis of your newest oeuvre and also, of course, the challenge that jihad represents to us in this country and to our time. Define our terms, if you would, Seb. Talk about what jihad is. It's been described as personal struggle. Is that accurate? And whose definition should we be paying attention to?
Well, Frank, in the book Defeating Jihad, there's a whole section on this, on what actually is jihad. And the blunt truth is it's a concept that has changed over time and has been redefined by men through the centuries. So if you look at the original Quran, you will find that there is an expression of jihad as inner striving or trying to resist temptation. But that's a fraction of the times that it is used. By far and away, the majority of instances where the word jihad is used, it is used to mean martial warfare, so physical warfare. Over the ages, it has been used to target different types of individuals. Firstly, to expand the empire, to use warfare against the infidel, the kufr, to make the caliphate larger. It was used against recalcitrant Arab tribes. It was even used against Muslim leaders who weren't deemed to be Muslim enough. So jihad is a very plastic concept that has changed continually. But the most important thing is to understand how jihad is used today. And Defeating Jihad talks about the key jihadi thinkers, the strategists of the 20th century that gave us the modern meaning or the most widespread use of the term. These are people like the Egyptian Sayyid Qutb, the Pakistani general S.K. Malik, and of course the true creator of Al-Qaeda, Bin Laden's spiritual guide Abdullah Azam. And for them, jihad is very simply the war a Muslim must engage in for the glory of Allah to reestablish and to expand the theocratic empire of the caliphate. It is people like Azam who actually stipulate that jihad is the sixth pillar of Islam. There aren't only five pillars to Islam. There is, in fact, a sixth pillar, which is being a jihadi, which is not an option, but which is an obligation of all believers.
This brings us to kind of the ideological underpinning of this modern concept of jihad. It's described by its adherents, usually, Seb Gorka, as Sharia. And I think it speaks to that point you've just made so eloquently, and that is that this is not an optional business for the faithful Muslim, according to Sharia. This is an obligation. Talk a little bit about that ideological underpinning, if you would.
Yes, the book is really shaped by my belief that it is ideology behind all of this, and this is what we have to understand if we wish to defeat it, because we're losing this war. And for me, the jihadists of today, whether it's ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or even the Shia version in Hezbollah, they are informed by a new totalitarianism. It's not secular, it's not atheist like communism or fascism. It is a religiously informed totalitarianism, but nevertheless, it is dictatorial, because look at what happens when the jihadists take control. Look at what Boko Haram is doing in their territory in Nigeria. Look at what ISIS has already done in Syria and Iraq. When they capture territory, they enslave the population on that territory. If you don't convert, then you will be either killed or enslaved as an infidel. And the imposition of Sharia law is part and parcel of this. There is no option. Once the caliphate controls your territory, it will be run in accordance with a fundamental interpretation of Sharia law, and there is no choice. That is the only way that you can exist. And that is part and parcel. The idea of jihad without Sharia is nonsensical.
Right. And this applies, of course, not just to the infidels, but also to all Muslims, even those
yes.
that may not, in fact, in their practice of the faith, embrace this tradition or be willing to submit to it themselves, let alone impose it on others.
Yes, I mean, it's important for people to understand that the idea of a war between religions is really quite fallacious, because who are the majority of the victims of the jihadists today? They have murdered and massacred Christians, Yazidis, you name it. But it is, in fact, the majority of their victims are fellow Muslims. Remember, I always like to remind people, what was the religion of Lieutenant Qassas Bey, the fighter pilot in the cage? Of course, he was a Muslim, but he was a Muslim who disagreed with ISIS and therefore paid the ultimate penalty.
And Seb, when you talk about this, and again, our guest is Sebastian Gorka, and we're discussing his newest book, Defeating Jihad, The Winnable War, you clearly are getting at the crux of the problem, it seems to me, of an ideological dimension to it. I want to walk through as well some of the ways in which this ideologically driven holy war is actually practiced. And the most obvious, of course, and we'll start with it, I guess, is the violent kind. Give us a bit of the flavor of how this is rooted in the traditions of Islam going back to Muhammad's own time, his perfect example of the ideal Muslim.
Well, I don't want to go down a rabbit run of the deep history of Islam's founding, but there's one thing that needs to be remembered at all times. Who is Muhammad portrayed as being? He's not just portrayed as being a prophet or the final prophet of Islam. At one at the same time, he's deemed to be the final prophet of the monotheistic faith that has, you know, the prophets of the Old Testament in the Quran. But he is also a head of state. He is the emperor, if you will, of the caliphate founded in Medina and then moved to Mecca. But lastly, he is a military leader. You just read the Quran, you just read the Hadith. This is a man who wiped out whole tribes, Jewish tribes, Arab tribes. Those who disagreed with his new religion were killed if they refused to convert. So anybody who tries to remove just one of those aspects of Muhammad as the perfect man is falsifying what Islam says about him and is generating a narrative that is not reflected in the Quran. And one more thing about the Quran. Every American needs to read one after September the 11th, because so much misinformation has been said about the religion. You should check for yourself, what does it say? And the Quran falls fundamentally into two halves. The one half are called the first half, the Meccan half, where Muhammad was weak, didn't have friends, had to reach out to others such as Jews and Christians. But then there's the other half, the Medinan half, when he comes back from Medina. This is where we find the sword verses, such as 9:29 or 9:4 or 5. These are explicit. Either you agree with the prophet and the new religion, or you will be subjugated, or you will be killed. That is not something that can be passed or interpreted or contextualized. And anybody who says that's not in the Quran simply hasn't read it, Frank.
More to the point, and this is such a critical insight, that the part that has those horrifically barbaric passages, these extreme jihadist injunctions and demands, have abrogated, according to Sharia, those more benign passages. So it is the operative DNA of this system. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that totalitarian system and how it is being practiced in the form of jihad with Dr. Sebastian Gorka straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.